Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes!
Oh, it is.
It is!
The 9 o'clock hour of the Alex Dono Show here on WQAM. Something I thought that was kind of weird, and he already explained it to me on Twitter, and it made it even weirder. I don't know, some of you guys may follow at Adam Smoot on Twitter, like big Heat Twitter guy, you know, very kind of snarky, cynical tweeter, but a nice guy. He actually used to work in this building years ago. He wrote for the WQAM website, so I worked with him many moons ago. But he screenshotted something and tweeted it out, right? I guess his father is a big New York Jets fan. So like a lot of Dolphins fans. When Sam Darnold, who turns out is playing pretty good, but got off to a terrible start, first pass that Sam Darnold threw in a Jets uniform was a pick six to Detroit, who they're actually tied 17-17 with the Lions now. But Sam Darnold's first NFL pass was a touchdown the other way. Touchdown Jets against them. Pick six. And so Smoot sent a text to his father that he screenshotted, you know, taunting his father about Darnold throwing an interception. But I look closely at this screenshot, and I realize, because, you know, you can see, like, when you send, like, a screenshot of a text message from an iPhone, probably an Android phone as well. I've never had one, but I would assume it's the same. You know, you'll see at the top of the text, like, the name, like, the way the person's name is saved in their phone. And so Smoot has his father saved in his phone as Anthony. Like, he's got his dad's, like, Christian name saved in his phone. I find that to be odd. You know, like my father is from Italy. We call him Papa. So he's saved that way in my phone. My mom is saved as Mom in my phone. I think everybody I know has their parents saved in as Mom and Dad or some variation of that. I find it strange that this is a, I don't care if you're a grown man or not, I find it to be strange to have your father saved in your phone by his full name. I find that a little odd. Solana, if you were to call or text your father right now, what is he saved at in your cell phone?
He's saved as Pops.
There you go. Yeah, like to me, that's normal. I can remember one time when my wife's cell phone was ringing and it said Mom was calling. I'm like, why is my mom calling you? No, it was her mom calling her. I was confused. Like, she's got my mom saved in her phone by my mom's full name. I've got her mom saved in my phone by her mom's full name. But each of our own moms are saved in our phone as Mom. That's normal. Having your father saved in your cell phone by his full birth certificate name, I find to be very strange.
And Smoot even replied to you and said he actually calls his father by his name, which is Anthony, so he calls him Tony.
Right. That's weird. That's very strange. Like, I don't know, that seems like very like hipsterish to refer, yeah, like he calls his father Tony. Like he wouldn't address him as Pops or Dad, like, hey, Tony. It's very weird, man. If I were to start addressing my father as Luca, I have a son named Luca, I call him that, but I don't know, the whole thing is very strange to me. Before we go to the phones, interesting to read these, Armando Salguero's takeaways from the Dolphins' 27-20 win over the Titans. We learned Frank Gore and Kenyon Drake might be a thing this year. I think it's safe to extrapolate that off of yesterday's performance. Drake rushed 14 times for 48 yards. Gore had 61 yards on 9 carries. We learned Ryan Tannehill is more or less the same guy he was before he was injured over 600 days ago. He had some good, like the 75-yard touchdown pass to Kenny Stills. Tannehill finished 20 of 28 for 230 yards. His rating was 89.9, which is on the high side of good. The Miami offensive line was solid, but there were penalty problems. Three of the five starters had penalties, with Daniel Kilgore and Jesse Davis being the exceptions. Rashad Jones had a great game with his two picks. Kiko Alonso also had an interception. The run defense was uneven, some good, some not. It needs work. Coach Adam Gase opened himself up to some significant second-guessing throughout the game. Ultimately, it didn't matter, though. In the fourth quarter, with both his two backs combining for 109 rushing yards on 20 carries, Gase threw, and threw some more to seal the win. In truth, he could have as easily run the ball after a Rashad Jones interception, milked the clock, gotten the field goal, and gotten closer to a win, but he passed. In the second quarter, the Dolphins drove from their own 15-yard line to the Tennessee 15-yard line, and facing a fourth and one with 2 minutes left in the half, the Miami head coach opted to go for a first down rather than kick a 32-yard field goal. And for the record, I loved that call. I was sitting in the press box next to Chris Whittingham and Josh Friedman. We all loved it. I love the fact that you went for that fourth down. And I did not second-guess the decision after you came up short. I liked the stones on that play call. I did. I wish you saw more of that in the National Football League. And that was it for the Miami offense before the Lightning delay, to which Salguero continues, hey, look, the coach is a gas-on-the-pedal kind of guy, but in a game he's not playing against Blaine Gabbert, he might want to consider milking the clock and keeping the other team's quarterback off the field. Look, this game was nutty. I'm not sure what we can draw as far as any lasting conclusions. In fact, draw no conclusions from this except this. The game mattered. It counted. The Miami Dolphins are 1-0, and that's really good considering there are moments that was very much in doubt. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not going to apologize for a victory. I'm not. And, you know, going back to the Canes game on Saturday, I want to readdress a question that a lot of us asked heading into that game. When you know you're facing Savannah State, you know they are not at your level, nowhere close to it. You can roll out of bed and win that game. Their athletes are so many notches below a Power 5 athlete. It was impossible for Miami to lose that game. We know it. So with that in mind, before the game, I sincerely wondered, is there anything the Hurricanes can do in that game to make you feel good after the crushing defeat to LSU? Is there anything that the Canes can make you feel better about in a dismantling, an inevitable dismantling of Savannah State? And the only possible positive I predicted, I thought came true, and that is, give me some positive signs from young players who would not be playing otherwise, right? Like, give me positives from the rest of your quarterbacks. Because if you, if you went directly from LSU to FSU, none of those guys would have gotten any playing time. I wanted to see what they could do. And how do you not come away feeling positive about Nikosi Perry's future? The kid was throwing darts out there. You can build on that and turn him into a great quarterback. No question he has more potential than the guy who's currently starting there. No question. No question. Would he have been the right guy to start against LSU last week? I doubted that before the game. You can second guess it afterwards. I can understand why Mark Richt, well, not to mention the fact that Nikosi Perry was suspended for that game, which also got me thinking. I wonder if Nikosi Perry being suspended for that first game, how long did the program know that? It's not like that was something that they decided just, you know, 3 days before the game. That may have been when they announced it. But I think they knew that was coming for a while. You think they knew that was coming, let's say, in the middle of the summer when Richt came out and made the definitive announcement, Malik Rozier is our guy. Maybe you already knew at that time Nikosi Perry was going to be suspended, so you had to shut down the quarterback competition. I wonder about these things. I do. Gets the wheels in my head turning. But even if he was eligible to play in that game, I would understand why you would go with the experience of Malik Rozier against LSU. And I also understand why you still haven't just flipped a switch and flopped them. But I think at some point this year, if Nikosi continues to get playing time, it could become a real competition there. I do. How do you not feel positive about Lorenzo Lingard coming out of that game? How do you not feel positive about Will Mallory and Brevin Jordan coming out of that game? Here's the one thing that grinds my gears, and it's nobody's fault. Nobody's fault. Anytime you play a game like Savannah State, you think of it the same way you think of an NFL preseason game. Number one objective, get everybody out of there healthy. Unfortunately, Miami couldn't do that. Greg Russo, true freshman defensive end, who would have been a stud this year. I mean, that guy, he looked unblockable in the spring game, fall camp. Breaks his ankle in that game. Underwent ankle surgery today, so he's going to be out for a lengthy amount of time, if not the entire year. You can redshirt him. He could still be great. But I thought that was a player, Russo, could have made a huge impact even as a true freshman this year. So it's very unfortunate that you have to put him on ice potentially until next year. When we come back, take your calls. We'll have a new edition of Clickbait next here on QAM. Radio.com. Radio.com. Get us some calls before we get to Clickbait. So Sam Darnold is good, huh? I mean, I thought Omar Kelly wrote a tweet that made a lot of sense. Like, be glad the first time you face him is week two. Maybe you can force him into some mistakes. But he already looks good. Week one. Yeah, I remember the first time the Dolphins faced Tommy Brady. That was like week three or four. 2000 when he took over. Or 2001 when he took over for the concussed and injured Drew Bledsoe. And Brady didn't look impressive. The Dolphins won that game, that first meeting, September of 2001. Brady didn't really look like anything special that game, and he went on to be Tommy bleeping Brady. Maybe Sam Darnold is already really good, though. We'll go to the phones before we go to Clickbait. 305-567-0560. Let's talk to our buddy Rick and Davey. What's up, Rick?
What's up, Alex? How you doing?
Good, man. How about you?
I'm doing great. But first, I got to say something. I'm a little disappointed. In you.
Oh.
For calling Ira on this night, but I'm more disappointed in Ira for picking up the phone. Come on, it's Russell Shana, Ira. Take a break. You know, you should be on vacation with your family.
So is that not over? Like, what's Solana doing here?
Well, I went to synagogue earlier and got out of there around 1:30.
Well, maybe Ira did that. Maybe he was roshing all day and night. How do we know? Like, he just finished roshing at 8:40 and he hopped aboard.
I thought that was an all-night thing, but okay. But, well, let me say this to all our Jewish friends out there. Happy New Year. So,
well, isn't this also the second day? Like, at some point, don't you kind of phase out of it? I don't know, man. I have no problem with Ira being available.
Okay, well, maybe it's just me. But, by the way, I'm not a mac and cheese guy, but if I were, definitely has to be with a fork.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, now, as far as the pizza, I'm sorry. For me, it's the sauce, not the bread. Now, here's where I do have an issue with the bread.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happened to me twice at one of my favorite pizza establishments.
Uh-oh.
I've made the mistake of ordering the veal parmesan, knowing that the breading was terrible. Something about their pizza is great. Their garlic goes is one of the best I've ever had. But when it comes to the veal, there's something about the bread that they use in the veal that, man, I just can't eat it. I can't finish it. And I love my veal, but I can't.
You know, every time I tell somebody who's never been to Italy, they get very angry at this reality. I just told Hockman after his show, and he wanted to punch me in the face. But he didn't, but he wanted to. There's no veal parmesan in Italy. That's not a real dish. You can get a scaloppine al limone. You can get all sorts of different veals. Veal parmesan, chicken parmesan, it's fiction. The only parmesan-type dish you can get is the parmigiana would be eggplant. That's the only parmesan dish you can actually get in the motherland.
Wow, you just slapped me in the face.
I did. I'm sorry, but you needed it. And I don't mean that because I don't like you, but I just want you to know this going forward.
Wow. Okay, so I guess maybe I'll have to cross Italy off my list. All right. Listen, Alec, we don't have to make any apology for yesterday. This is the NFL. If you don't believe me, ask the New Orleans Saints, who I believe were double-digit favorites against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yes, okay? I believe they were, yeah.
So we have to make no apology. This is the NFL. And think about this, Alex. This is what I told the guys this morning. Think about this. Imagine if you're the Buffalo Bills, which you could probably be the worst team in the NFL. And guess what, Buffalo? You don't have a first-round pick. So if they better get on their knees and pray to God Almighty that Allen works out. Because if he doesn't, they don't have a first round till 2020. So
it's crazy because I appreciate the call. I read they still may start the Jay Peterman catalog again this week. That dude's brutal. If they're not 100% all in with starting Josh Allen, that must mean he's a pig, and they can't put lipstick on that pig. That's disturbing. All right, I got time for one more call before we get to clickbait. Matthew, you're on QAM. What's up, Matthew?
Hey, how you doing, Alex?
How you doing? And so let me also say to Tom, who's also on hold, please try back later in the week because we have an interview coming up, and I only have time for one call. So, Matthew, continue, sir.
Yeah, man. So I just really wanted to call in and give my take on the pizza situation.
Yes,
right?
Please.
And I'm a bit of a traditionalist when it comes to pizza, right? I went to Italy recently on my honeymoon.
Bravo.
And I feel like there is a priority in the ingredients of the pizza. It isn't as much as one ingredient is the all or nothing, right?
I'm with you.
I think it goes like this, top one to three, right?
Mm-hmm.
It goes bread, tomato, and cheese, right? And when I think of that, I think of a classic. I think of the foundation that pizza was made on in Italy. And I think of like a hometown favorite pizzeria here by the name of Frankie's Pizza, you know? So, and I want to take aim at people like Tito Bonacci, who chooses cheese over everything else. You know, it's not all about the cheese.
He just doesn't know. Like, it's like a kid, you know? Like, he and Eric Falero, they probably would take Chuck E. Cheese pizza over like a fine Italian pizza. They're just not cultured enough.
Yeah, totally. I'm there with you all the way. I just wanted to give my take out there, you know, set the record straight. I'm glad you agree with me. And hopefully Tito will come to his senses, meow.
I'm not expecting it anytime soon, but I thank you for the call.
No problem, Alex.
Man, they're going hard at Tito Bonacci.
Well, what else can you expect when a guy like Tito, he just lacks so much culture, Dono.
He does. All right, my friends, it is time to bring up the culture in this joint a little bit, or bring it way down, maybe. It's time for a new edition of Clickbait.
We know you spend a lot of time online. Well, so do we. Here's tonight's edition of Clickbait on the Alex Dono Show.
Now, this Florida man story reminded me a lot of Seinfeld, because I think Cosmo Kramer did the same exact thing. A marathon man, a Keys man, is facing more than 300 conservation violations after police say they found almost 200 wrung lobster tails in the trunk of his car, and 150 of them were undersized. Didn't Kramer steal the lobsters out of that trap when they were at the beach house? You gotta see the baby. You gotta see the... Kramer stole a bunch of lobsters there. This guy did the same thing. A Monroe County Sheriff's Office deputy pulled over Jordi Escalante Carillo, 25, around 10:20 p.m. Tuesday on US 1 in Marathon for an unreadable tag. That's how they get you. Deputy Michael, you know what? You'd think if you've got 200 illegal lobster tails in your trunk, make sure your tag is in order. How about that? Mulata, the cop, wrote that he smelled a strong odor of burnt marijuana. Again, you're smuggling lobster tails, don't be smoking weed in your car. Coming from inside the 2008 Dodge Avenger, deputies did not find any drugs in the car, but they did find a Rubbermaid container packed with lobster tails. All of the lobsters were speared, according to the arrest report, and almost all were undersized. It is illegal to spear fish lobsters in the Keys. So that guy's in some hot water, no pun intended, for stealing all them lobsters. You know, last week, Solana, I talked a little bit about, because last Friday, you'd already had the podcast out there. Did you see Elon Musk lighten one up with Joe Rogan on the Joe Rogan Experience?
Yeah, I did.
The funny thing about that clip was, and I listened to the audio of the show, then I watched the video that was all over the internet. Rogan even said to Elon, like, hey, like, you know what I mean? There's weed and there's tobacco in here. Like, if you toke that up, like, is that going to hurt your stock? Like, is that going to, like, damage your businesses? And he's like, oh, well, we're in California. It's legal, right? Okay. So not only did the stock drop, but this is interesting. So Tesla and SpaceX CEO Elon Musk added yet another wearying episode to our multi-month-long Musk news cycle this week by smoking weed on camera with Joe Rogan, sending Tesla's stock tumbling and triggering yet more speculation about his capacity to serve as CEO. It's ridiculous, but you know this is going to come up. But the episode may have bigger ramifications over at SpaceX, which is a federal contractor and privy to classified information like the details of government satellites. Initial reports suggested that the Air Force which uses SpaceX technology for launches, had launched an official investigation. But according to a report in The Verge, the Air Force actually has no idea what to do about Musk toking up and is still looking, quote, for an appropriate process to handle the situation. So what? So they're afraid because the guy took a toke of weed in California on a podcast. He's just going to start telling government secrets to everybody. I'll tell you why that's ridiculous. Okay, not only is that legal recreationally in the state where he was sitting at that moment, are any federal agencies launching investigations anytime a government official takes a sip of alcohol? Because isn't that pretty equivalent, right? And maybe I'm wrong on this, but if you are like an executive to a company that has government contracts, is it in your contract that you cannot drink alcohol anywhere you go? Because when you're talking about, and I can understand if you're in a state where recreational marijuana is not legal, you could say, well, the CEO of SpaceX is showing poor judgment by doing something illegal. He wasn't doing something illegal. And are you going after every executive of a government contracted company who gets drunk or drinks alcohol? Because that seems pretty similar and pretty equivalent in this situation. And finally, Florida man. The Broward Sheriff's Office have arrested a man they say stole a BSO fire rescue ambulance on Sunday afternoon. BSO said they responded to a stolen vehicle call in progress in the area of North Broward Medical Center. The ambulance was eventually located. Quote, there was a GPS on the ambulance. Wow. And deputies were quickly able to enable the GPS and track down the suspect, who they took into custody. BSO said a traffic stop was conducted and the suspect, who was identified as Michael Paul, 25, was taken into custody without incident. They say Paul stole the truck as firefighters were wheeling an emergency patient into Broward Health North. Paul told detectives that he had just been released from the hospital and, quote, needed a car to get home. So what do? You steal the first ambulance you see. Oh, I guess I got the Seinfeld detail slightly wrong. He stole a trap in the Hamptons, Kramer. All right. Well, when we come back, we'll talk Dolphins with Adam H. Beasley from the Miami Herald next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
We go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. We'll talk with Adam Huntington Beasley of the Miami Herald. He is actually the 790 The Ticket Miami Dolphins insider. I have poached him from our sister station 7 hours, 8 minutes last night, Bees. I know that all the players were asked how they dealt with that delay. How did you deal with the 4 hours in delays last night?
I consumed roughly 17,000 calories.
Me too, man. That was rough. Like, when I was tweeting about it, people were saying, like, oh, I hope you've got enough food back there. I just had to laugh. Like, you guys have no idea how much food there is in a Miami Dolphins press box. I had to roll out of there by night's end.
I think I went back to the barbecue station maybe 7 times, and people completely forgot about the carving station.
Yes.
When we got there at noon. That seemed like 4 days ago by the end of the game. So, and of course, I didn't pass up the personal pan pizza at the very end. So I got on the treadmill this morning at about 8 a.m., and Duarte was there mocking me, and I was like, you know what? Mock all you want. I'm staying healthy because I ate a ton last night.
You know, so now for the second straight year, Dolphin season is off to kind of a wacky start. You had last season you had a game canceled due to a hurricane. You had a linebacker go AWOL right before the first game. At some point, you had an assistant coach snorting the white powder on video. It seems like strange circumstances follow this Miami Dolphins team.
Yeah, man. They're, as I wrote in the Miami Herald, they are true Florida men.
You know, yes,
like a Florida man meme. They're Florida men because any story about them that, like, if you would make up a story, I would believe it. Like if you're saying that Lazarus came back from the dead and Adam gave some coaching hints to get ready for the Jets. Oh yeah, that's totally plausible. I get that. I could see how that could happen because there's nothing now that can happen. That can shock me. Look, in the course of the last just 13 months, they've lost their starting quarterback to the season in an untouched injury. They lost their season opener to a hurricane. And on that trip, not only did Lawrence Timmons go AWOL because he missed Pittsburgh, apparently, they planted the seeds to lose their offensive lineman to what's the Yayo? Is that what the kids used to call it?
I think I thought the kids still call it that, but I'm always like, I'm 10 years behind every trend, man.
Yeah. So that was just the start, and then you had, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff that happened throughout the course of the season, and then just this week, Marquise Gray is going to be their starting tight end, a non-contact torn Achilles, and 4 days later, the longest game in NFL history because, you know, there was a little bit of lightning in the area. And, look, I'm not blaming the NFL. The last thing they need is that poor kid that was running around the field during the break in action to get struck by lightning.
Right.
You know, that's that, by the way, that was the most entertaining
thing.
That was watching this 6-year-old kid or 8-year-old kid just puts a series of moves on these overweight, slow-footed security guards. He looked good. I would not be surprised if Mark Richt has already reached out to his family about a commitment in 2029 or whatever it would be. Just weird stuff happens to this team that doesn't happen to other teams. You know, you'll have the occasional strange story, you know, but nothing consistently like the Dolphins. Look, the Dolphins, going back to Bullygate, have 3 or 4 times a year, every year, just become a national curiosity for no reason on the field at all. I mean, this is a team, you go back over the last decade, they're below 500, and yet people know the Miami Dolphins brand for just crazy stuff happening.
You wrote about Mike Vrabel's response to the Andre Branch hit on Taylor Lewin in that special teams play where he just laid him the you-know-what out, Bees. First of all, your thoughts on that play? I mean, obviously, I know that even in the ever-evolving NFL rule set, that was still a clean hit, certainly in my estimation. And in Vrabel's response, he didn't outright say he thought it was dirty, but do you think he was hinting at that?
I don't think he thinks it was dirty. He probably thinks it was unnecessary, and that's the difference. Because, look, Luan could conceivably have made a play on Rashad Jones on that interception return. He was in position to make a tackle, and Andre's Branch's block was a legitimate block because he was blocking a potential tackler out of the play. But the blindside nature of it, inciting a brawl, I mean, this is the second time in as many regular season games now the Dolphins have been part of an ugly on-field brawl. And then what I didn't see at the time, and social media alerted to me later, was Fox cameras caught as Luan was walking off the field into the tunnel with the help of medical personnel. They caught Andre Branch screaming what appeared to be body bag.
I saw that in your story. I did not pick up on that either, but I guess that's what you say in a spot like that, Bees. I mean, what else are you supposed to say there?
Well, CTE, maybe.
Yeah, fair.
I think that probably the block alone probably didn't anger, although it did cost them their starting left tackle for the rest of the game and perhaps this week as well. But the reaction, the Dolphins taunting, there were two, Bob McCain and Jordan Phillips, then get taunting flags, which Gase hated. I mean, it drove Gase nuts, and he said that today on the record. The Nashville reporter who asked Vrabel about it today brought up body bag. And so I think the Dolphins' reaction to what was a pretty nasty hit. Look, Vrabel was on the ground, motionless,
right,
just like a sack of potatoes. And then he amazingly just snapped to and started running around like a crazy person. I mean, clearly he had some cognitive stuff going on right
there.
Yeah,
that's true.
And I don't think that's the time to be celebrating a guy's face, particularly with what we know about the nature of concussions. So, look, it's part of the game. I don't think, unless they go completely two-hand touch, you're ever going to be able to get a completely safe football game. But maybe just tone it down a little bit next time.
We're talking with Adam H. Beasley, covers the Miami Dolphins for the Miami Herald. He's also the 790 The Ticket Dolphins insider, but we borrow him on 560 WQAM whenever we can. Bees, it was nice to see Ryan Tannehill back in a regular season game. There was some good, there was some bad in the interceptions, but overall I thought Tannehill had a nice performance. How did you grade him out yesterday?
Yeah, I'd say a B, a solid B. If he wouldn't have had that throw in the end zone, I would give him an A-minus because
yeah.
As Gase said, that other second pick to Jakeem, it may not have been on Ryan. Jakeem may have run the wrong route or the wrong depth. And, look, it was 3rd and 1 mile. They were just throwing it up for grabs anyway. So it was essentially a punt. But that first one was egregious. It took points off the board. And look, Mike Gesicki has what, 6-8 inches on Malcolm Butler. High point that ball. Don't ever short arm it. I mean, I think it's with a 41-inch vertical leap, it's almost impossible to overthrow Gesicki. So yeah, I think they said the ball slipped out of Tannehill's hands, so that explains it a little bit. But that play aside, he looked good, and it was crazy because the first quarter was a basically a wash for the Dolphins. The Titans had two really, really long drives, and the Dolphins had got a first down and then had to punt after the next possession because I think there's a procedure penalty on was it Tunsil or Juwan James or one of the tackles. So they really didn't have the ball in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So those stats that you saw, 20 of 28, 230, and two touchdowns, were essentially two quarters worth of work. You got to be happy with that if you're the Miami Dolphins. And if you get that consistently, now you got to cut down the turnovers. But if you get two touchdowns and one pick or two touchdowns and no picks every week with, you know, 70% completion percentage, and I think the average was 28 and a 230 is probably 7-8 yards a pass attempt, that's good stuff. I mean, that is efficient, good football. And you combine that with what looks to be a pretty decent running attack, a two-headed monster in Frank Gore and Kenyon Drake.
Yeah.
I said before the season 25 points a game for the offense, and they're at 27 now. I know seven of those came from Jakeem, but still they count. So, yeah, I still think this offense can score 25 a game and be really effective. Oh, my God, by the way. Darnold started for the Jets, right?
Yes.
He threw a pick six on the first play.
Oh, no way. Wow, that reminds me. I got to flip over to the game. I got two TVs in here. Neither of them are on the game. Oh, no, actually, I do have it on the left TV. I got to watch
first
the replay
of
that.
NFL career, a pick
Woo! So, yeah. So you think the Dolphins are the second best team in the AFC East, Bees?
Well, not even close. I mean, good God, the Bills.
Oh yeah, well, they're obviously maybe the worst team in the league. Period, probably.
What are they thinking? And I know McDermott's going to be the do the coach speak, but there's no way. Look, if you play Peterman again, and that's his name, right? It's not Peterson, it's Peterman.
It's Peterman, yeah, like the Jay Peterman catalog.
Right, exactly. You're going to lose your locker room.
Yep.
Because I know these guys are getting paid, but they still want to be able to believe their coach is putting them in the best position to win. And there's zero chance that locker room believes that quarterback gives them the best chance to win. So, yeah, I do think the Dolphins are the second-best team in the AFC East. And you know what? They're in first place, baby. First place Dolphins. You got to love it. We may not be able to say this again the rest of the season, but right now they're a first-place team.
So, we've talked about some of the positives from Miami's performance yesterday in the 7-hour, 8-minute marathon. But what were your biggest negative takeaways, maybe some things on the defense, Bees, that we saw yesterday?
Well, I'll start with the penalties, the seven penalties that were accepted, and there are a couple of more that offset because of during that fight. Those two 15-yard penalties for taunting didn't count because the Titans got flagged for one as well. So they still have not shown a great deal of discipline. They thought that problem had been fixed, and obviously it still needs some work. 2 of 10 on third down, Nano.
Yeah.
That has been their Achilles heel for a long time. Red zone offense, they had, I think, 10 points through their first four red zone possessions. That is terrible. I mean, at the very least, you want 12 because you're kicking field goals every time. Fewer than 3 points per red zone possession is, I mean, it'll be the worst in the league. So that needs to improve. On defense tackling, I think that...
Yeah.
There were a couple of runs, and that Henry run that probably should have counted. I mean, they got a little lucky there with a holding call that I know the Titans were upset about. They're a work in progress, but the good news is this. You got to win out of it, and the Titans are a flawed team. Let's not kid ourselves here. They went 9-7 last year. They barely got in the playoffs, and, yeah, they won a playoff game, but there's a reason they fired their coach. That they knew that team needed work, and it still needs work. But you got to beat teams like that. And I asked Gase this today, and he didn't want to get into it because he's one game at a time and all that. And that coach speak is real. That's really how they operate. But they had to have known if they lost that game with Blaine Gabbert, without the two starting tackles for the Titans, without their best tight end, with three interceptions, if they had somehow managed in a kickoff return for a touchdown, if they had somehow lost that game, it would have been awful. I mean, absolutely terrible because they only have seven home games left. You'd have a loss to start the season, what's supposed to be the soft part of your schedule. I think in their heart of hearts, they would have known, man, we just dug ourselves a huge hole. And that's the thing about the NFL. I know there are some Dolphins fans today that were not exactly, you know, waving the pom-poms after yesterday's performance. They're nuts. I mean, they're absolutely dead wrong, and here's why. I put this out on Twitter. Your job as an NFL franchise is to get to 10 wins, mm-hmm. right? Because you get to 10 wins, you're going to the playoffs. And if you go to the playoffs, anything can happen. We have six seeds and five seeds all the time making a run, getting hot, and getting to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, it'd be nice to go 12-4 and have home field advantage throughout. But that's not realistic. If you're not the Patriots, you can't have real expectations of that. Patriots are another level of every team in the NFL, let's be honest. They are the gold standard. But everybody else, they're just trying to get the 10 wins. And you have 16 opportunities to get to those 10 wins, and they're 1-0. And they have set themselves up now to go to New York next week to face a rookie quarterback who we've seen already can throw up some ducks.
Yep.
And then after that, we've got the Raiders, who we haven't seen yet, but they're not exactly stacked on defense anymore. And their offense was kind of shaky to begin with last year, too. So they have a real opportunity now, even if they just play okay, not great, but okay, and start to get their legs under them, to start 2-1 or even 3-0. And then really, Gase's MO has been, I see what I got, and then I improve on it. His team's, by and large, I know last year was kind of was wacky, but even still, their offense got better in the second half of the season. The defense fell apart. But, you know, in 2016, went 1-4, and then they got red hot because they started figuring some things out. And that's what Gase does. So, you know, if you're a Dolphins fan, should you have expectations of making a deep playoff run? Probably not. They're, like the Titans, a flawed team. But they're certainly in that mix of every team in the NFL that can go between 6-10 and 10-6. And a couple of things go right, and they could be playing meaningful football, not just in December, but also January.
Great perspective. Great stuff here from Adam H. Beasley. Covers the Miami Dolphins for the Miami Herald. Follow him on Twitter at Adam H. Beasley. Bees, I know you didn't expect to have like a 11, 12-hour day, whatever it was for you yesterday, but great work as always coming out of that, my man.
All right, well, let's get some sleep tonight, huh?
Yeah, seriously. Thanks for joining the show. Go to bed.
Bye-bye.
Great stuff there from Adam H. Beasley. Yeah, I thought that he brought some good perspective there. And he is actually one of the few media members who was kind of bullish on this team before the season started. For a lot of other writers, there were gloom and doom predictions left and right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.